Welcome to Diaries of a Data Scientist, our podcast in which we share about what's important to break into data science, provide valuable insights also for senior data scientists, and invite interesting guests from different data science areas. We're Yasmin and Kate, we're both data scientists and mentors working in industry, and we are sharing here our thoughts and experiences. Let's go!
Hi, and welcome to the second episode, Diaries of a Data Scientist. And today we're going to discuss a pretty interesting topic, which is how to understand if the data science role is for you.
It's the right one for you.
Mm-hmm. Because it's pretty important, I guess. And we're going to cover three different aspects of that. The first is pretty much how to understand it, which kind of personal traits maybe you should have in order to get into the tech field as a data scientist. And that Yasmin and I, we will go through different roles that we have in the data industry. And then we will finish, I hope today, with what kind of skills in tech and soft skills you should better have in order to succeed in this position.
Exactly. So it's maybe going to be a bit longer episode than our first one. And Kate and me, we're also going to throw in our personal story and why we actually chose to be a data scientist. So I think this might also be quite interesting because, of course, the reasons could be different for everyone or the focus that you're setting. And we hope that with like this episode, this maybe helps like career starters or also people who think about breaking into data science to kind of make out if data scientist is the right role for them.
Yep, totally true.
Great.
And maybe we can pretty much start and dive into the topic, and that I will ask you, Yasmin, the first question.
Yeah, so, let's do that.
Why did you decide to go to the data science field? Or maybe like, firstly, why decided to go to the tech field? And then secondly, why I decided to go to the data science specifically field? What do you think?
Yeah, nice. And it's really also a quite common question in the data science mentorings. So it's usually part of the getting to know each other in the beginning. Tech field first. For me, this was quite given as part of my undergrad, my bachelor study, which I did in this dual system together with SAP, the European software company. So I kind of like at, I don't know, I was 17 or 18, decided to study business information technology together with SAP. And this kind of brought me directly into the tech field. And the reason why I decided this was basically that I had the experience from school, so I was already like having informatics or computer science as a subject at school, which I was really, really happy about, because if I didn't get to practice it at school, I would have never had the self-esteem to choose the study. And for me, it was always like being able to create something new in computer science, which always fascinated me. And I just felt that, you know, the innovative drive and like being at the forefront of doing something with the tech industry was always what kind of fascinated me and captured my interest. And so I could have never imagined to, I don't know, work at the town hall or so. So this just wasn't for me. And I need challenges. I need to be kind of, you know, like where the action is. So for me, this was perfect with the tech industry. And how I got into data science. So I think this was in the end really like multiple smaller decisions. So it's not like at one day I woke up and said, I'm going to be a data scientist. But rather that during my studies, I got more and more into the area of like developing based on data and also developing data-driven prototypes. And I just found this so fascinating that based on this data, you can actually help a business and you can make better business decisions. So for me, it was mostly about this kind of, what do you use data science for? So the applied outcomes. And I just got fascinated by this whole machine learning industry and research, and it's just so it's really fast paced. Also, you have to say that it's really fast paced. But I just love, you know, scratching on the edges of this artificial intelligence part and being a part of this. Yeah, and this brought me into data science.
That is cool. You know, I just kind of recall one of my talks with head of developers in the US that I had last week. And we, like, you know, we laugh a lot about how people presume that the data science is something magical. And he was like, you know, we're actually right now rewatching with my wife Harry Potter. And he was like, let's start calling from this point of time people muggles and monks. They do think that data science is magical, that, okay, all of us are like wizards and all of them are like muggles.
I think it's, as long as people think it's like good magic happening, I think that's great. But yes. I also heard people saying stuff like, oh, it's like plague magic happening in data science, plague. Because they didn't really trust it, right? And I think that is something that we need to think about. And that's why this whole work around transparency and explainability is going to be more important in the future, because I think definitely. People really need to still have some trust in what we do. So magic is good, black magic maybe not.
Well, which is actually black magic, I would say, is pretty much referring to the black box. Usually when you go to the articles, you would have like input data and then black box, something is weird happening in there, and then you have the output and everyone is happy.
Yeah.
So this is pretty interesting. You know, it's pretty interesting because from your story, I understand that we do both have pretty much the same initial setup, because when I started at 7 years old going to the school, my parents decided to pretty much me to study math. And it was mathematical. Yes, it was a mathematical physical school. And pretty much, like, you know, yesterday I've been trying to understand how it is better to start with the story, which brought me to the data science field. And after 20 minutes of talking with myself, I was like, okay, I guess it all started when I got 7 and my parents decided me to study math and physics as hard as possible. And it was one of the, I guess, toppest and hardest schools in the whole Russia that would teach you math and physics. And that was pretty interesting because out of this school, you got this interesting and not natural, but I guess developed personal traits as you love challenges afterwards and you got bored if something is not really challenging. And I think that you have the same a little bit of mindset that you love challenges and you love like crack the nuts. And this is one of the cool things about a data science field. And the second
part. The problem solving part, right?
So the problem solving part, yes. This is the second pretty much what I wanted to say. And the third is complexity. Because this is what I admire the most about a data science, that it's not okay just to know one field, but you have to know statistics. And it's not just statistics, it's like advanced kind of statistics that you need to know hardcore math. And on the top of that, you need to know several programming languages, which is computer science. And it's even better if you are in the computer science, because you need sometimes to understand how the machine is working in order to optimize machine learning algorithms or artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and I think that's like, I mean, you see all kind of different backgrounds and profiles with data scientists, right? Which is super interesting, because this just says that you can advance into data science from a lot of different fields, especially like, you know, if you have anything quantitative in your field before, you can find a transition into data science, right? I also had a mentee once, and she was actually studying tourism before. And then when COVID hit, of course, you know, the travel scene kind of lost its grip. And she then decided to go into data science. And of course, this is a way harder transition as compared to when you're maybe already like, I don't know, studying sociology with a very quantitative nature. You at least have the statistics part that you can already rely on and the empirical kind of study part. that you're related to. And yeah, I think this is quite interesting to hear that you kind of like got your trajectory set at such early age and kind of found your way into STEM that early. So did you come out of the high school knowing that you want to do data science, or what was your plan?
I came out of the high school knowing that I definitely going to be in the tech field. Because again, you would have, I even have right now goosebumps actually all over my body talking about this, right? This is how much I love that. So pretty much, again, that all of those personal traits that you got developed throughout your high school, like your entire school days, it is complexity, problem solving. You have to be curious as well, which is one of the main data science, personal traits, I would say. Because as you said, this field is developing really rapidly and you have to catch up and you have to be ready for that part. So going back to the question, I was like, okay, I have to be in the tech field. Otherwise, I will get bored. And I hate being bored. This is the most disgusting feeling that I would have. And that is why afterwards, I decided to go immediately to the math. And that because I didn't want to get bored, I decided immediately to go to the second bachelor to get statistics.
You know, this. So you have a double degree, basically?
But in Russia and in France simultaneously. And then pretty much when I was working as a data analyst at the same time, full time already. So I was doing everything to not to get bored. And then when I finished this, I came to Germany, starting with the applied statistics as my first master. And see, it was not enough challenging, I guess, for me. Not enough of complexity. And I was like, okay, let's go to the second master, which is data science.
Yeah, cool.
So maybe a little bit to summarize that, what I love and what brought me to the data science is complexity, problem solving, curiosity, competitiveness. You also have to compete a lot.
I mean, that's why we want to compete on Kaggle with solving data science challenges, right?
Yeah, definitely. So it is just not enough to be, I don't know, good at math, statistics, and computer science. You also have to know that there are a lot of good data scientists on the market, and you have to somehow compete with them in order to get a position or in order to get an invitation and so on and so forth. So
And I think
you have
full
of life.
Exactly. I think that many of the traits that you also just mentioned, I think we have a good overlap also with other very much STEM heavy fields there, such as computer science, right? So I think that software developers, of course, they love to create new things. They need to be curious. So I had this one experience when I was, I think I just started with my master's and also still work part-time at SAP. And I was developing a web application, just getting into JavaScript more. And I had this stupid bug that just sometimes happened with JavaScript. And you're like trying to solve it for hours. And I just couldn't find the root cause. And I was flying out to a conference and I was sitting at the airport. And I was like, I'm going to solve this bug before I'm going to enter the airport, the airplane. I managed it, and I just remember this feeling of elatedness and being so happy about this. But you, of course, you have to have the perseverity of like really, you know, going for it and not gonna. I think resilience of also being resilient to challenges and also being resilient to failure is very, very important in that field as well as in data science then, of course, as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, your story just memorized me one of those reels on Instagram that I've seen maybe a couple of years ago. So it was like something, a picture about a data scientist. It's like the room and people are partying in the room. And then there is one data scientist who is sitting in front of the computer trying to solve the bug with the machine learning. This is what I feel. I love it, honestly.
Sometimes you just can't put it down or can't do anything else until it's done. Yeah.
You just have this eager to solve that immediately.
And I think this is an important trait that you should think about. Are you that person? Are you are you not shrinking back from challenges or when things gets nasty? I think this is really, really one fundamental part of computer science, but also of data science, and then also being able to also translate back problems into the business field, because mm-hmm. unless you're like purely working in data science research or in mm-hmm. AI research, you're gonna work for a business, right? And yeah. the means of data science is to help the business. It's not because we love how fancy and magical data science is, but to actually produce helpful insights, right? So I think that is yes. an important translation that you should also mm-hmm. be ready for.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this is a perfect kind of link to our second part that mm-hmm. you've mentioned, just AI researchers. And we've mentioned this couple of times early in the talk that it's not that strict with the personal traits as well. And we have a variety of different job titles in the data industry. And I would say that it really helps the starters or people who think about going into the data science, what is that and what are the differences between all of those roles?
Yes, that's a great transition. And it's not mm-hmm. like just a data scientist. And if you can't see yourself in that role, like it's all or nothing. And I think that is something that I also always share with my mentees, right? There are many other related roles, and all of them mm-hmm. are important to make kind of the value chain work of mm-hmm. producing insights from data for big businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to find the right spot for you on this kind of value chain. Mm-hmm. And I think there are different focus points as well. And so, Kate, let's maybe start with the one role that you've mentioned before. You said mm-hmm. that you've worked in the beginning of your career as a data analyst. Yes. So how would you describe the role of a data analyst?
I would say that you would have in there kind of two directions. So the first direction will be that you will be hardly working with SQL, with databases, trying to understand the data, trying to create meaningful and insightful dashboards. And it's usually done for the top management or for the management to see the key results mm-hmm. of the product or of the project, of any pretty much activity within the company. That's the first part. And the second part is, you know, I guess in every single organization, we have this kind of department, maybe not a department, but a team, which is called controlling. And they are going to be heavily focused on the data analytics part, but from the Power BI side. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't need a lot of SQL, but you will need to know Docs. You will need to know Power BI, maybe how to create variables in Power BI. Again, for the top management to see the results. So I would say, to summarize that, I would say that it's primarily working with dashboarding tools.
Mm-hmm. So visualization of yes. the data visualization. Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. And working a little bit with the programming languages mainly as SQL mm-hmm. or DAX. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I would say that from my experience, it's about this.
Yeah. So would you say that, you know, like imagine you're transitioning from a different field and you want to break into data science. Mm-hmm. Would you say that this would be a good kind of entry role because it's not as kind of mm-hmm. stats heavy and mm-hmm. Computer science heavy as other roles?
I would say yes. Well, at least in my journey, this is how it happened. I got into the data analytics personally. Then I got to the data engineering, and then I got mm-hmm. to the data science. I've been through all of those positions. And wow. this, yeah, and it like kind of gave me this, a little bit of flavor, yeah. And also it gave you a little bit of understanding between differences, because this is, I guess we have discussed this maybe with you last year or something like that, that mm-hmm. a lot of companies are not enough, like mature enough in order to distinguish between different roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And they think that the data science is the same as data analyst, data engineer, developer, cloud architect, database manager, whatever it is.
You're the whole IT department.
Yes, the whole IT department is one person. And I think it will really bring you this understanding between different positions.
Yeah, great. And I think also it's not like that. So imagine you're fresh coming out of the university. It's not like that your first job is very likely going to be your immediate dream job or like the final ultimate position at the end of your like journey.
Yeah.
So it's okay to start in a kind of related role, in a slightly different role, if it's easier for you to break into that role and, you know, work yourself towards the kind of position that you actually have in mind. And I think you can, it's not just that you get a broader portfolio, like what you just said, Kate, but I think there's many skills that are really well transferable into the, you know, between the roles. And I think that this will definitely not hurt your kind of career to start in a related role and then shift into another one. And also, I think what's important, right? It's not like there's this one. I guess there are Wikipedia pages on these different job titles, right?
But yes.
Honestly, it's not like there's a mainstream definition of these roles with like the five top skills. If you ask different people working in that field, you will get slightly different answers about what a data analyst does versus a data engineer and versus a data scientist and so on, right? So this is mainly Kate's and mine experience about these roles and also what we've taken from the mentorings and our experience that we shared there. So please don't think that there are other definitions out there. And I think also it really heavily depends, as you said, Kate, on the company and the kind of industry that you work in and the maturity of the organization that you're working in. If you're working for an organization and they have, 200 heads, data and AI organization, you're going to find very different roles in there with like a sharper distinction between the roles. But if you're working for like a smaller to medium-sized company in, rural Germany, maybe it's going to be five people having to produce the insights from the data. Yeah. And then, of course, your portfolio or your profile needs to be way broader.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it's pretty nice, like what you have just said, it's pretty nice and goes as to the direction that if you want to get to the data industry field, you need to understand your frames, what you would love to do. And either you want to be data scientist, data analyst, data engineer, it's just important because companies, they will mix that up sometimes. So it's like important for yourself to define these kind of definitions for yourself.
Exactly. And also really discuss this in the interview. So when you're interviewing for a role and the role is titled data engineer, make sure to somewhat, ask for some task descriptions or like being able to speak to someone who's already working as a data engineer in the same organization to figure out how is this role being lived in that organization and what are the kind of like main challenges that the person or this position would need to achieve and so on. And what is the skill set, right?
Yes.
Because otherwise it could happen that you're looking for a data analyst role because you ultimately want to transfer to data science, and then you're going to be part of an organization and the only thing you're dealing with is Excel. And maybe that is not really helping you much on your journey, right? So you want to make sure what is the kind of task and skill mix for the role that you are interviewing for.
Yeah, Excel hurts me right now. So.
Oh, no.
Yes. So maybe let's go and talk a little bit about a data engineering position.
Yes.
So what do you think about that? What is that? Like, what is the frame kind of the data engineering position?
Yeah. I think that the role of the data engineer has really, really silently kind of creeped on the data scientist and maybe by now even kind of, overruled it in terms of attractiveness. At least this is the feeling that I have, that many organizations finally kind of understood, right, that there's no data science without proper data.
Yes.
And I guess this should be kind of a natural, but it's one thing to just say it and the other thing to live it really in an organization. And I think that is where I see data engineers coming in. So for me, these roles are really like the magicians around the data sets and the big data sets for that. So everything that you know about large data management, skills or technical skills like working with Spark, working with different kind of distributed data frameworks, this is where I see data engineers at. So for me, these are the colleagues that are writing the really like big scripts where they consume a lot of different data sources, mesh them up into one, make sure that they also have a certain like quality about, and then kind of also bring this data to somewhere where data scientists can easily consume it. So for me, from the value chain part, it's really about doing the heavy data lifting before then the data scientist comes in and maybe can take this well-prepared and easily accessible data and well-integrated data and do some magic with it, right? But for that, you need a heavy lifting. And for me, that's where data engineers are at. I also had like a student working in my team, which is a team of data scientists, right? And I mean, he was doing great. And at the end of his kind of internship or rotation, he said, I really liked it, but I just feel I want to do something with data, but more back to kind of the heavy programming.
Ah, okay.
So he was very much able to, you know, do the model designing part and so on of data science, but he wanted to program more, he wanted to develop more, so more on the engineering side. Okay. And I think this is exactly for me why the title of a data engineer is so fitting, because for me it's like the heavy duty lifting of a software engineer, but focusing on the data specific frameworks. And that's what I've kind of recommended to that student, to look into the role either of the data engineer or the machine learning engineer, which are both parts of the same value chain, but are more engineering heavy than the role of the data scientist.
Yeah. So it's pretty much they create this data foundation needed in order to create a magic with the data science.
Yes. And I really mean it. Do you know this famous or like maybe even infamous article of the Harvard Business Review? I think it was in 2010, where they basically said data scientist is the sexiest role of the 21st century. I think everyone knows this in our field, right?
Yeah.
And I really feel that this has kind of somewhat shifted to the data engineer role. So of course, data science still... data scientists are still heavy in demand and so on. Very, very much future-proof role. But I think data engineer, like looking at, for example, US salaries and West Coast salaries, I think you can earn even more as a data, as a very engineer. Well, exactly. If you're really good in what you do, I think you can earn more as a data engineer because that's even more scarce than data science.
Yeah, definitely. Because pretty much this is what I see right now since I'm working with the business kind of units in the company that, like, you know, people are talking about, okay, let's have Gen AI here, 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 and there. And when we actually started looking at the Gen AI use cases, I found out that we have no data or that we have no data foundation in order to implement that. And for that part, the data engineers comes and is like just the perfect fit for them. So pretty much in order to apply nice fancy tools, we need to have nice fancy data. And that is why we need to have data engineers.
Perfect summary. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think that we need to talk more about the role of a data scientist or basically just consume our podcast and you will learn it on the way?
I would say that learn it on the way, but maybe we can have a slight differentiation between data scientist and machine learning engineer, because a lot of people mix that. And like just really briefly, maybe I would just go through a couple of words and you can add this if I miss something. Pretty much machine learning engineer is the person that is responsible for the whole pipeline. Yeah. So let's say from the data to the very final testing part. If specifically, if we're talking about the big data and you cannot execute it in Python, for example, anymore, you need to use, I don't know, Databricks, PySpark, you need to use Data Factory or Azure, different software apps. This is where the ML engineer comes in order to make sure that the whole pipeline is running, is working, is refreshing, and produces the data and produces the results. And if you are changing the models in this pipeline, you're changing the data in the pipeline, the features, it has to be also summarized kind of in the on the schema in order to understand how it is working later.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. So for me, the role of the machine learning engineer is like revolving about basically two things or two words, one being deployment. So for me, the machine learning engineer is basically the person that is, you know, that the data scientist is handing over their work to, you know, data scientists, all nice and funny, working in your local Jupyter notebook. Of course, you shouldn't do that, but that's how like how it goes maybe in the beginning, right? You're working on your very nice small local Jupyter notebook. You don't care about scalability. You don't care about data integration and how to actually deploy that in a productive system. And for me, that's where the machine learning engineer comes in as a savior to save the day and take whatever the data scientist has worked on in nights and days. And makes this scalable, makes it robust, and brings this into the deployment pipeline, and also makes sure that it's well integrated into operational and productive systems. So for me, deployment and this really awful word of productionization is what kind of makes the role of the machine learning engineer.
Yeah. And maybe I just like saw that on our pretty much list that we wanted to cover. We have ML engineer, right? And we also talk a little bit about a statistician. So going to the different kind of part. And the difference between the data scientist and a statistician is...
Like a pure statistician, you mean, right? Like someone who's really calling themselves.
Honestly, I guess in the last years, it's not... The kind of distinguished line, the borders are not really fixed. Because based on my experience, I saw a lot of statisticians in data science departments. And pretty much they were doing the same as data scientists, but their position was a statistician. And what I feel from that experience is that you can go to the data science field from totally different backgrounds. Pretty much going back to our very early words that we've mentioned, that you might be a data science, going from the computer science, and for that, maybe you will go to, to hard programming data science positions or to the data engineering positions. And, or you might go, you might have really strong background in statistics, and that is why you will go to the data science field with the title of a statistician. That is also possible.
Yes, and I think, I mean, we all agree on that statistics is going to be a large part of the tool set of a data scientist, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can definitely kind of see data scientists who come in more from the computer science world, and then naturally they have to learn more and kind of upskill in the area of statistics. And the kind of like other big portion, of course, there are many different ways into data science, right? But the other big chunk of people coming into data science are maybe coming more from a math statistics kind of background and then have to upskill on the computer science part. And I think what's important to recognize that mature organizations should ideally have a mix of different profiles and different people. You don't want to have five times the Kate or the Jasmine with the exactly same profile and exactly kind of same background and experiences. And it's, I think, data science is really making the whole kind of value chain work from data to insights or data to value. It's really about working with different profiles and interdisciplinary across the fields. And I feel that that's where, like, you know, remembering back universities, study groups, and student projects, this is was always when we were the most successful, when you had a broader mix of different backgrounds and profiles in the team.
So you have this diversity I love that. It's honestly amazing.
Diversity in skill and perspective. Of course, I mean, there are other diversity dimensions, like, you know, gender, age, and so on.
Countries.
But for what I wanted to basically focus on is really saying diversity in different profiles and backgrounds coming into data science. And because it's only like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years since here, for example, in Germany, data science study programs picked up, right? So when I did the data science master at Uni Mannheim, it was 2018. And they, I think it was the second semester ever that I was on. So it's not that long ago that you don't even have data science programs. But still, there were people working as a data scientist or working in the task that today we call data scientists, right?
And just maybe add to this, you said about the diversity, and I immediately kind of recall my team that we were a bit, I guess, up to 40 different people, 40 different data scientists.
Wow.
And yeah, and we had totally different background. So if you want to know a computer vision, you will go to that person, and he's a guru of computer vision. If you want to like concentrate and you have a project related to the really heavy math calculations, then we had our doctor in math working as a data scientist. If you want to understand, and for example, Bayesian statistics, that we had a doctor in Bayesian statistics,
nice.
And you can go ahead and have a consultation. That is awesome. And this is how you, I think this is how you develop as a data scientist. This is how pretty much you grow your connections and the knowledge at the same time. I love it.
And I think what is also for me important to stress is, I mean, you do need those experts. You need those gurus, as you said, right? But it's also okay to kind of choose for yourself that you wanna have some knowledge in different fields, and you wanna have this more broader profile, somewhat deep, but not like only focusing on this one field of, I don't know, computer vision or
mathematics,
reinforcement learning, exactly. So there's this kind of terminology, I think it's check of all trades, which kind of means, you know, you can do all and nothing. And I think this is a bit harsh, but I think you also need this kind of like more broader profiles in data science. And especially as a kind of junior person, this is quite natural that you kind of have some knowledge in different and multiple fields, and maybe over time start to choose an expertise area. But you know, nobody is starting as an expert, right?
As an expert, definitely.
So just to take away some of the worrying and concerns of our younger folks who want to break into data science, it's okay to, you know, to switch fields in the beginning and to build up some knowledge in different and multiple different areas.
Yeah, definitely, totally supported. And for example, while you're like, you were talking, I kind of saw my picture of the courses that I bought for myself for the next year to go through. And I'm definitely for the idea to be more broad, like rather than being really concentrated on the very specific field. Because again, for me, I will just got bored with this because you have to do this over and over again. So I want to jungle a little bit with different projects.
Okay, now we have to do a separate episode on what are the like the learning and the courses that we plan to do ourselves next year.
Oh, definitely.
Now you said it.
Yes.
Immediate new content idea popped up. So, okay.
Maybe for a Christmas episode, we can do that.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, we're planning a kind of holiday special for you guys. Then also back again with video, definitely. And yeah, maybe to wrap things up. And for me, it was the kind of point where you said, oh, there was this expert and you just you have to know who to go to for what, right? So ultimately, it's so amazing how it again boils down to having a network of colleagues and experts that you know that you can turn to, which is for me also partially like a somewhat a soft skill, right? For some people, it's easier to build up this network and to have this kind of idea of who do I need to go to for what challenge. And for others, it's really like that they have to force themselves to network and maybe, I don't know, be more social and really like to have this as a skill, right? What other soft skills would you say are important for the role of the data scientist specifically?
I would say the first part is communications.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is via communications, being able to manage people. Maybe I will not talk about this specific case in this specific episode. Definitely go through this case later. When I did had a project that seemed to be very technical at the very beginning, but afterwards, after I would say a month, it turned out to be a pure communication project.
Oh, okay.
And in order to close the project, I had to communicate a lot with business side because we had problems, again, understanding that data science is magic on the business side, although it was not possible to do anything better on the technical side. And this is pretty much a data scientist, for me, is a person that has technical skills and at the same mm-hmm. time, soft skills. And for example, if you want to go to the team lead positions or if you want to go to the senior positions, you need to have those soft skills in order to manage people, in order to pitch the projects, in order to organize it and increase the acceptance rate.
Yeah. And for me, it's also really understanding what the business wants and what they need, what your business stakeholder wants, mm-hmm. right? As mentioned, it kind of depends on the maturity of the organization. And in big organizations with like very big data science projects as well, which cost million, you mm-hmm. maybe have roles that are actually supporting you on the business requirements, business translation part. But of course, you don't always have this luxury as a data scientist. And yeah. this is what I've meant with, unless you're like, I don't know, really fully focusing on AI research and you're part of like a more the academic field of data science. Data science is there to serve the business. And mm-hmm. I think that is what you really have to also think about as a data scientist. It's not like that you can lock yourself in for weeks. Exactly. Weeks and just program. But you have to communicate and you have to interact with a different roles, as we just mm-hmm. heard today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, the data scientist is also somewhat the kind of coordinator along this line, because I mean, how should the data engineer know what they should do? I mean,
yeah.
they need some direction and guidance. Also, the data scientists have to tell them, ultimately, I have this and this in mind. So this is somewhat the data that I need. And then data mm-hmm. engineers, they can bridge this gap, because mm-hmm. they need to understand the data scientist's needs, right?
Yeah.
And it's also important for the data scientist to communicate to the machine learning engineer, okay, these are the properties of the algorithm that I've designed and so on, and kind of also help with this transition into the productionization. So it's yeah. not just with the business, but also with the different roles. And mm-hmm. in the end, I see them somewhat as also the coordinator, as you said, the organizer, mm-hmm. coordinator
mm-hmm.
of making sure that ultimately you bring insights from your data. And I think yeah. the most important part, I mean, we all know the situation, you have to find a presentation and yeah. the business wants to know what you've done the past weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you I think it's always helpful if you can simplify the ideas and also help them to understand what you're doing, because this ultimately builds trust. But the simplification, this is really not trivial. And I mm-hmm. think that's the best data scientist, who can break down very complex topics, as you said, Kate, the complexity mm-hmm. is often mm-hmm. very high, into smaller chunks that are understandable by people not working in the data science field.
Exactly. Because maybe to add to this, you will be working with stakeholders. And it means that you need to be able to talk and to explain how your new modern tool is working to the business people that have no idea about the applied part. And they will ask you a lot of questions, how it is working, why is it working like this, why I do have this number, why why this number has been changed for some reasons. And you need to be able to explain that not via mathematical equations and data science jargon, but you have to be able to explain this like to the kids as if they've just started learning something. And this is awesome, I would say. I have a goosebumps right now.
So we were definitely going to go into more detail about the whole soft skill tool set that data scientists should have, because we think it really deserves its own episode, right? We need more time for that. It shouldn't be just a topic on the edge or on the corner. So we're going to take more time for this in one of our next episodes. But I think for today, we've covered a wide arc. We've taken a look at different... all of the different roles in the kind of data value chain. You've heard about Kate and mine personal reasons and stories how we got into data science. And we also talked specifically again about what is the skill set that the data scientist needs to have. And thank you so much, Kate, for sharing also your personal experiences with us. And I think
thank you too.
At this point, thanks for listening and see you in our next episode.
This was Diaries of a Data Scientist by Yasmin and Kate. And if you enjoyed the episode, remember to check out our YouTube channel and our LinkedIn pages for more engaging content from the data science world. Thank you for today, and seeing you in the comments.